Anyways, I'm ready
Okay.
whenever you are,
Okay.
man.
Let's do it.
Let's do.
Well, that's good. Welcome to Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. The week of what if Killmonger saved Iron Man or Tony Stark? I can't remember the name of it.
Tony Stark.
No, I know it's not Iron Man, but is that the name of it? What if
Yeah.
Killmonger saved Tony Stark? Because they always give a different name. And like the commercial they put out the day before when he's like typing a new title, but it's never the title.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the screen where they like delete, delete, delete 10 rings. And like, so this gets confusing, folks. How have you been?
I've been all right, right, man? How have you? I'm Kyle, by the way, and we're sponsored by Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Like, share, subscribe, all that to the YouTube channel, LRM's YouTube channel, and our Genreverse podcast network. I'm doing good, Nick, man. I really dug this week's episode. Got to do the what'd you just pull out?
I just unboxed something just right
Oh.
yesterday. My
Oh,
Sam
very
Wilson
cool,
Captain
Captain
America, which they're
America.
smart. I thought it would say Sam Wilson Captain America. It
Not
just says
just
Captain
Captain
America on it.
America. Yep. Well, that's because he is Cap
I
for
know, but I
that
like,
thing.
because like some, you know, people are predicting the names, not just the titles of the four unannounced Marvel movies that were just announced, you know, where they're just
Oh.
slates and someone's like Sam Wilson Captain America. And I almost snapped
I
him like, shut the
thought
fuck up.
and I was like, I really don't like, I want them to just c continue it on with a subtitle c connected to
Yeah.
it. You know, I
And
think
it
it
shouldn't be
was
Sam Wilson. Because the only
no.
reason the comic was called Sam Wilson Captain
It's because
America
you also had
is because it
Rogers
was running
running
the same time as Steve
exactly.
Rogers Captain
Yeah.
America.
And I already told you I had a curiosity if they might if we might revisit the Serpent Society. And we know that title was teased jokingly as a placeholder for Civil War once. But yeah, man, I also got to do the reaction to the Hawkeye trailer with Christine and Manny. That was a lot of fun.
We
Everyone
discuss it
check that
briefly.
out. Yeah,
I would like to
dude.
say a few things about it.
I would love to hear what you have to
We'll
say
start
about it.
with that, and then we'll move on to what if Killmonger
Sure.
saved Tony Stark, but spoilers, still killed Tony Stark.
Was awesome.
I loved it, the trailer. It was not what I was expecting at all. And it's ex I feel like it's what Hawkeye's needed since the first time we saw Hawkeye.
I know, right?
This is his kind of stuff, being unprepared, being in over his head, being a cocky asshole, like, you know, like the jumping onto the Christmas tree in like Rockefeller Plaza looks like such a fucking, like, not just Die Hard, but like that's a this really is a Hawkeye series. We're getting Kate Bishop too. His character is finally like perfect. You know, he was too dark, not too dark, but he went through his rough patch in Endgame. And he's kind of been undershifted in every movie, even though he was kind of overdone in Ultron because they spent time to show his whole family, which I feel
Yeah.
was Whedon apologizing for the first movie. But this is the Hawkeye I read in the comics, this type of Hawkeye. And it's interesting how they're able to work in that he still has a family, but he has to go do shit.
Yeah. I really found the excuse me, the interactions with Kate to be at least on the cert on what we can see from a trailer to be very, very what's the word I'm looking their chemistry is good. Like
Yeah.
they looked like a they are
A
working
unit.
well
Yeah.
together. Again, it's only the trailer, but you know, and Feige we trust. What I really damn, I'm making all sorts of noise and kicking over trash cans and shit. Sorry. What I really found almost shocking at first was how much Christmas it is. And I know a lot of people already wanted to make Die Hard correlations, and it's like, yeah, sure, but because of the action style that they're going with, the slapstickiness of it actually reminds me more of Last Action Hero
Which I
and Home
haven't
Alone
seen. Is
than
Last Action Hero also Christmas? Because I know it's Shane Black. I almost thought when I was watching this trailer, I'm like, did Shane Black do Hawkeye?
not Last Action Hero's not Christmas. The other
Oh.
I had fucking, what's it called? The one with the superhero, the Christmas one with the superhero and Sinbad. Jingle All the Way. That one. Why'd I get Last Action Hero?
That's a classic movie.
Dumbass Kyle's brain dead. That one, Jingle All the Way, is more of the Christmas action movie. This feels like, because of the, like I said, the action style
use of Christmas is
that too. But again, because it's very slapsticky, like, I'm sure we're going to get good. We see it in there, you know, classic, you know, action stuff like you,
like
you,
him catching you get from a Die Hard cocktail,
exactly.
And just throwing it right back. And you're like,
but everything, everything else is pain, humor. Everything is a slapstick. It's all very physical based. And that reminds me of, in a way, yeah, sure. I guess you could, I'm not completely off with Last Action Hero, where Schwarzenegger is still doing physical slapsticky type stuff for that. But Jingle All the Way is filled with it, especially with Sinbad, who is a comedian first, and while Arnold was a weightlifter first.
He did
and
plenty of comedy for a while, though.
What's that?
He did plenty of comedy.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
part
yeah.
Of his career.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Kindergarten Cop is still a great...
Twins.
Great movie. And Twins, oh, God. Let's face it, though. You couldn't have been paired with anybody better, like Danny DeVito. Come on.
Hell yeah.
But, yeah, man. I kind of lost where... You got me stuck on Twins.
Oh, you were talking about Christmas and Hawkeye,
yeah, so
trailer.
So the Hawkeye and Christmas. So, yeah, that's how you can kind of... That's how I kind of feel it. Not so much Die Hard, but I'm sure we'll get plenty of Die Hard things.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Here's the secret, guys. Die Hard's not a Christmas movie.
It is, though.
No.
It is, and so is Iron Man 3.
No, they're not.
Yes, they
are. It takes place, and someone says Christmas once.
He's only there because he's at a Christmas party. Anyway, this is a discussion for another time.
Yeah.
I could argue this forever.
What do you think about all of the Kingpin stuff and
I've heard rumors. I haven't read into it.
Stuff and yeah.
I would love to see Kingpin. Obviously, we're going to see Ilana. Florence Pugh's character, she's been set on the track by Black Widow to appear in the series.
Yeah.
And one last thing. Would you agree this actually looks like the funniest based on the first trailer of all the series?
I mean, yeah, but again, just based on the trailer, sure. And like I said, I could be wrong. They could have front-loaded all the Christmas stuff, and this is a Die Hard where Christmas is just in the background. Or they could have, backloaded all of the Christmas stuff, and we only get a taste of it, and it is more Jingle All the Way, or it could be just a really good blend of both. I have a feeling, and I was hoping when I saw it, and the fact that Christmas is kind of in the forefront, is even when you go back and you look at the marketing for Die Hard, Christmas is just in the background.
Exactly.
Almost used as
that
shock.
Comparison.
It was almost used as shock value because it's like during Christmas, this. In the marketing for no, I'm serious.
I know.
And this was more like it's more like this during Christmas.
Yeah because that's all gonna make
and
the
I was
comparison.
Happy with that. Yeah,
the Die Hard poster says nothing about Christmas. You look at the Hawkeye poster and even the trailer. It's like the best presents come with a bow or whatever.
Yeah,
and
the snow snowdrops. Snowflakes. Thank you, Nick. The snowflakes falling behind the title card is really, really pretty. And dude, I've always loved the way blue, purple, pink, and red play off of snow. So you know things you see during like sunrises and sunsets, and also oddly enough. In a very, very non-morbid way, but because of the strikingness of the colors, fresh blood on snow is actually a very beautiful display of color, only because I don't know how to replicate those colors in any other way.
But I don't think we'll see much of that, though.
No.
The most blood we've seen is like blood on it. This is still PG-13.
My point being, the purple plays with it really well.
Outfit.
Not just that, but even like the logo and like all of it.
That logo is straight from that excellent run there. Mm-hmm. This is Kate Bishop, and I was like, they obviously had to change it because I believe in that comic run just starts with him living in an apartment and helping his apartment people.
Yeah,
obviously this one he has a family. He's trying to juggle Christmas mm-hmm. with the family and the Kate Bishop storyline, and they even have Lucky the dog with one eye.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely excited, man.
I'd be excited.
And I always was, but even more excited.
We get No Way Home hits right between two episodes of this. So people are really thinking there might be a Kingpin reveal in the episode before, and then comes Spidey and there might be a Daredevil cameo as rumors have it. And again, I said it on the daily cup of genre, which you guys can find on the YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe. I'm getting better at that, right? I had said that, you know, LRM doesn't necessarily. Yeah, sure. There's been a few things that we know about Star Wars that we've talked about, but whenever we're talking about things that we know, so to speak. Again, it's not, of course, official because we haven't seen the movies. It's either A, connecting enough dots ourselves, or B, being able to see a toy or a trailer and then have read certain leaks and go, oh, okay, that one's real.
Or C, the person denying it is not good at denying it. Back and forth every time. And we know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you know, there's some things that I know about too much stuff in Marvel to where I'm done trying.
Early
to
on, know. Weren't they saying that No Way Home is partially a Christmas movie? That feels more
I don't
like,
remember.
Based on what we've seen. Well, I mean, it's winter in a certain this is, scene. But, Halloween is. I heard that it was partially. If anything, that sounds like a diehard Christmas movie.
If anything, unless Hawkeye skips an entire year, like. Is this set the Christmas of the comeback, or is this set the Christmas after the comeback? Because if this is set the Christmas
I know when this is set. I think this is the Christmas right after, because we haven't been together in years.
Then this would be right after Far From Home and right before No Way Home. Then, yeah, maybe.
I actually honestly don't think they're going to tie it together as much as the rumor you said with Kingpin. I think we'll see him in one and not the other. But
no,
this is one of those movies is loaded with
people,
characters.
Well, yeah. No, people were thinking that it's going to tie up because you'll get Kingpin in one and Daredevil in the other. Or, well, at least Murdoch.
I don't think we'll see Daredevil, but
we'll say Murdoch. Yeah. So, yeah. But there's a lot hinging, and you know, this is the Marvel Multiverse mayhem, so we could talk all we want about the upcoming movies and stuff. I'll say this: I'm not happy with a lot of things on paper. I'm not happy with most of No Way Home on paper. What I saw in the trailer, I liked. You see my reaction on YouTube, and
trailer was solid as shit.
Trailer's great.
I love
and
it.
I
watch it all the time.
Yeah, I've explained ad nauseum why my nostalgia goggles are coming off and why I don't want live action Spider-Verse. So go check out past episodes. But I'm still hopeful that I will enjoy it all, no matter what I think of it on paper. So if you guys hear me being, you know, Donnie Downer, it's okay.
Feige, we trust.
I'm always saying
up.
That. Exactly. And most of it.
And you get
bridges.
A few fuck ups, but just don't fuck up Spider-Man.
And it, a lot of, you know, stuff on Spidey hinges on my you know, god awful feelings on Sony and their track record, while the rest of it is just me being tired of seeing old stuff I hated you hated, not just you, Nick, but you guys out in the audience. And then all of a sudden, all those people that hated it, all of a sudden want it back again. And I get the idea of, oh, well, it's in Marvel's hands. They could do it better. But I'm like, well, I've already seen so much stuff, you know, so many turds polished. I'm ready for something new. So
like a turd. But again, in the wind.
I can't. Exactly. God, fuck those movies. Hate that.
Next one's only 90 minutes.
I know, but oh god, people on Twitter.
Actually, the shortest Marvel movie ever made.
Anyways, it all being said, guys, I do hope that I am wrong about not thinking the ideas are good and that I do enjoy them. Same thing with Ghostbusters Afterlife. I don't know. Anything else you wanted to say on it, Nick? I don't think I
will. No, I can move on to What If now if you're ready.
Sure, let's do it. What if?
If, I don't know. What if Killmonger saved Tony Stark, meaning he was never kidnapped by the Ten Rings, which starts with the very opening sequence of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, redone in animation. What did you think of the Tony Stark actor in this one? I mean, he's the same one as last time. He didn't work in the trailer, but he worked for me in this, and he worked for me in What If Everyone Killed the Avengers or whatever it was.
Yeah, so 100%. And I don't remember which show and who I said it to, and it may have just been a conversation I had with Christine, but I do recall saying, I don't like it, but it's a short, you know, it's only a little bit. It might be different if there's more. And
yeah, I didn't like it after the trailer.
I didn't like it 100%. And I still don't think he's got the right voice, but he did get the right tone. And well, he had a good delivery.
Interestingly today, that it's like the guy who played Spider-Man last week was on like the last Spider-Man animated series. Mm-hmm. This guy has played Tony Stark in several iterations of animated. So
that would explain why he got that tone right without necessarily getting the voice. So yeah,
exactly. I mean, he's going for like this way Stark's speech gives speeches and gets excited and like more than he is
so
trying to do an impression.
It's still not I'm sure there's better out there. It's serviceable. It was still garbage in the trailer.
Yeah, I think it's much better here though. I think it basically got everyone else. Obviously not Pepper Potts.
Right.
What's her face doesn't even remember she was in Far From Home because it was probably just shot really quick on a soundstage without even Robert Downey Jr. Her part is so small. But it's no Gwyneth Paltrow. I believe every Black Panther character is correct. Claw is obviously correct. Rhodey is
almost hoping he would somehow survive this one so I could get my dream Thunderbolts team through the multiverse.
I will say that, and of course we kind of have the Incredible Hulk situation where they're showing us an older movie that had Terrence Howard in it, but they're retconning it with Don Cheadle.
Yep.
Because why would you? You're trying to make it feel more cohesive than it right. was. Like the Hulk, exactly. I don't even count as a movie because it's so incohesive.
Although, shout out to my U.S. Army brother, Jonesy, over there from
Breaking Geek
Radio
for
calling out his uniform rank being wrong. That's right. Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Air Force will have either a silver oak leaf on their rank, or they're going to end up with a black one subdued on certain uniforms, like combat uniform dress. It should be a shiny silver.
So
the yellow one is a major.
At the party wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And then they also got the costume he wore into battle wrong, or would he dress in? Would he really dress down that much to be his unofficial mission for the Stark Company at
South
Africa.
I saw where I
he's just wearing green. Look at that. He's just wearing the
right. And yeah. And both the clip that Jonesy posted is a very like short scene where you're gonna see it. And of course, I'm not even looking for that in an animation. Honestly, I'll look at military uniforms in real life. And just take a quick
action,
glance.
Even.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Live
when
action. Talking
about the Winter Soldier.
But
this.
Right. But in animation, I don't really. It's like I don't expect them to be anything realistic. But that's a glaring mistake. Like that is You guys have it. I made a comment on Twitter. I was like, it's not like there wasn't a movie where you guys had his rank right several times before he gets a promotion to Colonel, Fulbert Colonel. And in addition to that, you guys have all of the you know 2008 U.S. Air Force you know uniforms pictures that you could look at from well I mean that they were essentially the same for quite some time but yeah. You know you could look them up like
is
come,
Iron
come
Man
on
actually 2008 is this when it's set.
2007.
Was it like I always, the uniforms was it like same. Right before Fury's big week, so closer to 2012.
Yeah, the Air Force's dress uniform okay. has been the same for a while, and the rank has been the same for God since the Air Force was created. Back when it was the U.S. Army Air Corps, the lieutenant colonel rank has been silver or black subdued for quite some time.
Yeah, I saw Jonesy's comments and wanted to ask you about that. So thank you for bringing it up because you're our yeah. other expert. I did like when he said that, I kind of had the thought in my mind, like, who cares? Most people won't notice.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing where I was given that response by friends in Mitchell's versus the Machines. Have you seen that yet? Mm-hmm. It's from the Spider-Verse. Team.
I know it, but I didn't want watch
it's not
it.
As good as Spider-Verse. It looks very unique. They go to Colorado at one point and it's a mall with palm trees everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I couldn't do a little bit of research and realize there's not a single palm tree in Colorado. And then Jammer's like, it doesn't matter. I'm like, I notice it matters to me. So I guess yeah. military people feel that way about
when he brought it when he brought it up, like I said, in general, animation, I'm like, I don't really, because you, a lot of our stuff is so small, you can't do it in detail.
Yeah.
So, but to see a bright yellow spot where a silver spot should have been, and they could have said, it could have been something as easy as the silver would have blended in too much.
Yeah.
And then in that case, I'm like, okay. Then you should have adjusted fire and had him in the combat uniform and done the black subdued. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. that's a glaring mistake if someone spots it. And yeah, it's one of those that they could easily correct. Of course, doubt that they will. Maybe they will, but in live action. I tend to look mostly at officers' ribbon rack to see what awards. I don't care if they're in correct order, but I want to see what crap they're putting on these people.
Could you tell? I guess you don't look as much in animation. Could you tell what most of Killmonger's awards
oh God,
were, or what Ross is wearing, or it's no. all animated, so it doesn't.
No, and not only that, but the Navy's medals and the way that their dress uniforms are all sorts of confusing. And outside of some of the joint service ribbons, things that are connected to certain conflicts or times of service, I probably wouldn't recognize it okay. anything for the Navy specific outside the big ones like Navy Cross and stuff like that. So
this episode is basically Pirate Iron Man, a very small part Ultron and part Black Panther.
Yeah.
Where the beginning of it is very much Iron Man. Yeah.
It is. And I just looked at the time and we should take a quick word from our sponsor because we totally had this great conversation and we should have done it before we even started What If, but we didn't. And so it's going to happen now.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. The Grow Generation commercial team is armed with industry-leading professional consultants. Grow Generation's team will help you fully manage any size or scale project. They offer turnkey facility designs, cultivation room design, and on-site project consultation. Go to www.growgeneration.com where the pros go to grow.
All right, welcome back to From Our Ad from Grow Generation.
Yay. Pros. Anyways, as you were saying, it's part Iron Man and
Black Panther, and there's a little bit of Ultron in there based on one location and one character, mm-hmm. who's also in. Yeah, because they obviously they recycle locations even if they're different years.
Right, but it's all set within like the year at or so after Iron Man.
Absolutely.
Because Shuri is still really, really young and the king
is... I was thinking Killmonger, I thought he'd be a lot younger, but Chadwick Boseman's in his 40s, which I didn't realize. I don't think Michael B. Jordan's probably only 30, which still means if you jump back 8 years, he could be like 20-something.
Yeah.
I tried to look up the exact year that they opened Black Panther with, which would be Killmonger's about 10 or so then. But I think he's old enough. It's just interesting that he would look more de-aged than Tony Stark as far as his film appearance, but they just didn't even bother.
Because it's
like 6-8 years, whether he's 22, 30, or 33, he can look the same.
Basically. I don't think they've put too much thought into Killmonger's age and stuff.
That was my only thought at first. I'm like, wouldn't he be a lot younger too?
Probably, but I always took him as kind.
Sure, he was already a teen, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I always looked at T'Challa as most likely being in his 30s, and Killmonger most likely being in his 30s. I didn't pay too much attention to the time. It just kind of made sense that way.
I always figured that too, early to mid 30s. But then you learn like Chadwick Boseman was in his 40s when he died. And you're like, holy shit, he was in his 40s. He looks 30.
Mm-hmm.
But
lucky, not the death thing, the young looks, guys.
It's interesting while we're talking about it that I saw Jones complain about that.
Oh, having to watch him die again.
Yeah, how many times are we going to watch T'Challa die in this series?
Bravo to Marvel for sticking with what they created. Yeah. You know, I am sure
it
that
means more. Like
yeah, I'm sure that Chadwick Boseman would not have it any other way. And I'm sure his family and friends would not want his final performance changed in any way. So bravo. I'm happy. It is sad and I get it, but I bet it's very bittersweet for many.
Yeah, and is you know, and the I saw an Easter egg that his coffin read Wakanda Forever, which is of course the name of the next movie as well, but also, you know, obviously applies directly.
Yeah. And like I said, I get why that title was chosen, and it's completely okay, but I feel that there was likely a better title somewhere out there, because it just doesn't, they could make it fit, but it just doesn't feel like it would fit right now. It just feels like an outside homage, but it could work.
What about the number 4? Wakanda Forever. That could be the fourth one. Like Too Fast, Too Furious, yo.
Nick's fired, ladies and gentlemen. And who wants to host a podcast? Podcast. Oh, I'm
so,
Canadian now.
It's like, I definitely have things to say about the episode. But basically, he saves Stark because he was part of the Ten Rings underground.
Yep.
Plus the Obastiah stain immediately. Yep. Which was, so basically, the main point of the episode is if this trauma hadn't happened to Stark, and they even fast forward to events we know in our MCU, mm-hmm. he would never been a hero. He hasn't changed his mind about anything. He wants to make bigger weapons, not get rid of weapons.
Yeah.
And Killmonger is all willing to play into all of that and use Stark to get what he needs. And then when Stark's dead, use Claw to get what he needs, and then use the Wakandan people. It's just all about, it's like if every 10 minutes is like, what I read about before I watched, it's like Killmonger's changes sides every 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's playing the bigger fish game. Yeah, he's playing the bigger fish game to reach to the top and get the best of Stark and the best of Wakanda put together.
Because he is actually, they mentioned this in the Black Panther movie, he is an MIT graduate.
Yeah,
like in this, he's super smart, and you're like, oh yeah, like Tony Stark, he's well educated.
Yeah, and let's not take anything away from the Killmonger character at all. But I will remind people that even the Ivy League classes offer basic stuff where people barely pass. So just because you went there doesn't necessarily make it something great. But for his,
he's always been smart in certain regards that we know about. We've never seen his tech smarts until now, but
yeah, like I said, I'm not talking for the character, just because, like you, it carries that note with it for the character. That's why they use it. I'm talking in real life.
I graduated Harvard, but with C's, like that kind of
Well, thing. Not just that, but it's like I got a sociology degree from Harvard with C's. It
wouldn't qualify me to design a Gundam drone.
Exactly, which is why I was like it's not for Killmonger, but in reality, just having that as a credential, it's kind of like, you know,
it means something different in Marvel, at least.
Exactly.
I think MIT's even on the, they even have footage of them shooting at MIT for Black Panther 2, I believe. Even.
Yeah. So, well, you know, that could be a lot of things, but I, for one, have been hoping Killmonger will come back and be part of Thunderbolts, but, you know, we haven't even heard Thunderbolts mentioned yet. So we'll see. Maybe in Hawkeye.
Bet there'll be someone recruited. Val will be in Hawkeye in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
I doubt Eternals, but I also bet Spider-Man. She's the Nick Fury and she's building something.
Maybe.
Maybe she's even asking Fisk not to be on her team, but to be like, hey, I know you're a rich... Anyway, we're off topic.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're on Marvel and multiverse, and it is us being chaotic, which is, you know, another word for mayhem. But anyways, yeah, dude. He goes, and what's crazy is while I'm watching it, and I'm noticing what he's doing, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty clever. And then he goes for the bigger fish. And I'm like, damn, where does this end? Like, I really didn't know where he would actually plant his flag. Because I saw him, like, going after Wakanda, but to take it and bring it out, like, in the movie. But I was like, could they flip it where he's like, you know, I'm going to bring, you know, my U.S. with me and take this and then spread it that way and kind of be the same kind of, I don't want to say antithesis, but like the opposite side of the same coin that they kind of did in this. But they stuck with him kind of ending it in Wakanda in a very, very unique position.
Yeah, where he is the Black Panther. Now, here's a question I have about Black Panther for you. Wouldn't his dad still be Black Panther, especially if it's like 8 years earlier?
No, they had said something about him not
passing it on. He is old, but he should be 8 years younger, I believe, than we see him in.
Yeah,
Civil War.
He would be, and I don't remember the timeline, and I don't even remember where it came from. If it was deleted scenes, if it was just off-camera talker in one of those tie-in comics, but it was something that T'Challa had been the Panther for a while.
Because his dad got old, even though he wasn't king, he was given the title.
I don't know how long. I don't know if it's long enough for time to match up or not, but I do remember that discussed.
In this universe,
exactly. And I mean, in the comic book world, especially now that we're this high up in, you know, movie and show count, we're going to have to give them some slack on time, you know? So anyways, what'd you think about the showdown with Tony? Like when Tony figures it out, and did you think Tony was going to be able to stop him?
No, Tony's too cocky and he hasn't earned any of the lessons he's learned. He hasn't learned anything. Yeah. He's cocky. I mean, he's still counting on Jarvis without being combined with Ultron to control a unit.
I liked the
he has the watch, though, I think, which lets him control it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the line that Killmonger has about anime when he shows him the robot design. And
that's Michael B. Jordan. Yeah.
That's a throwback to the similarities to the costume design of Killmonger in the movie, which is similar to Vegeta from Dragon Ball.
Plus, Michael B. Jordan is well known as a giant anime fan.
Well, that's why that armor was there, apparently, and that's what I'm saying is like it connects to those all together nicely. So I liked that.
That was funny. I also liked in maybe even the same scene where they're trying to like power it. And he's like, what about a miniaturized arc reactor? He's
yeah.
Like, nah, that would never work. And then they get the vibranium from the necklace. And then they need more. Cool so way. They do the exact same thing they do in the movies. They go to Claw.
Mm-hmm.
Who I really like this about the show. Certain characters who aren't as featured, they take more license with their images, like what they look like. And I think Claw looks a lot better animated than Andy Serkis embodied him. Like he's bigger, he's got a bigger beard. He's like, and they've done that. Like the Collector looked very different because he was a mob boss in that version.
Yeah. I mean,
you can change the more minor characters, make them more comic accurate, and people won't freak out. You can't change the MCU design of Captain America. Yeah. You can change it of Claw slightly.
I guess.
He's like Wolverine.
Yeah, I loved Serkis as Ulysses Claw, though. I did. I thought he did a great job. And it was sad to see them kill him off.
Exactly.
It was sad to see him kill Killmonger off. But yeah. So we'll see what happens next time.
Because, yeah, we end this episode with the least big cliffhanger, I would say. But we still have him as Black Panther, Killmonger, and Shuri and Pepper Potts are on to him. Shuri being probably the smartest person left alive if Tony Stark's already dead at that time period.
Unless Reed's out there somewhere.
Well, we haven't seen Reed, and Ironheart's coming. So.
And I can hear someone yell, "Oh, Reed's not smarter than guy." We don't know what the intelligence level of an MCU Reed is. So
what Kevin Feige has told us so far,
yeah,
like when he was like, "So far, Scarlet Witch is the most powerful Avenger. So far, sure, he's the smartest person behind Tony Stark." But then they add characters, and it changes.
Yeah, because
like, now, so far, Captain America's the most powerful
Avenger. And we got Reed Williams coming in and
from MIT, according to the photo shoots. Set photos.
Yep, all sorts of stuff. So, we'll see. Yeah, man. What I really dug out of this is that several of our other episodes have taken opportunities to explore alternative lessons to be learned or to be missed. This took the exact same message, which is that vengeance rots you to your core, and that when you achieve power, don't use it for vengeance. For one, use it to make everything better. And they just drove that home again with this. And especially with those being, you know, the words from Chadwick Boseman's T'Challa, again, warning about the poison of jealousy, of vengeance, of that. And I was really impressed to see them go with such a strong thing today, because everyone today has incredibly strong feelings about everything.
Like, it's Marvel, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so quick, and we see it all the time. People that do things out of spite, out of vengeance. And I think it's a great message. And sure, we could look at it on big socioeconomics and political things, or we could look at it in everyday life. When you're driving down the street, somebody cuts you off, it pisses you off, you could speed up, ride close, and cut them off to make them feel bad. But God knows what type of day that they're having, and you might have just been the straw to break the camel's back. They didn't even realize they cut you. All that type of stuff, you know, to that type of small shit, guys. Like, I dug it. What'd you think about them using that angle again? And with the same characters and essentially the same outcome, with him actually being successfully installed there, but still having a resistance. What'd you think?
Speaking to your vengeance point, I think one of the people I watched today pointed this out. I can't remember if it was Screen Rant or someone else. That the fact that he's willing to kill...
terrible clickbait all the time. Anyway, sorry.
I love Screen Rant, and new rock stars doesn't do the same style.
Not necessarily that their videos. A lot of Screen Rant written stuff is awfully clickbait, but anyways.
No, I'm not even talking about it. I've never read a Screen Rant article.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. One guy does, like, much about
just,
the video
just like new rock stars and heavy spoilers. They do, like, 100 things you missed or whatever and just talk about the episode. Yeah. And it's a guy who's just a video
guys. I'm sorry. I'm not even a YouTube. We're not even a YouTube. We're LRM Online just has a YouTube channel, so subscribe. Anyways, Nick, carry on.
So he kind of pointed out, maybe it was heavy spoilers, but I don't think so. Like I said, new rock stars changed their format, so I don't watch it anymore. It's not like a breakdown. It's like what you and I do. It's not like breaking down shit for me. It's you guys talking. Which hope
well, there's
I like
not
you.
Really anything to... I mean, yeah, there's stuff to break down,
it's like 40 minutes and stuff. I mean, ours is going to run that long today because we spent half
we're reviewing and spent half of it talking Hawkeye.
But one of them noted that the fact that he's able he kills two other black men without hesitation at Claw's place is that it is more than vengeance and it is a social issue of black people giving me, you know, because that's what his real aim is. And he even says that in this, where he's like, we should give help to the other people. And then in this one, he slaughters Don Cheadle and Rhodey and Black Panther.
I mean,
the same scene.
You could...
Which they are his obstacle, to be fair.
Yeah, I was going to say, you people could look at it like that, but it's very obvious that he is personally driven by his personal experiences, and those personal experiences are shared by many, many people across the board, across history, across many lands in North and South America and Europe and Asia and Africa itself. So you know it's valid feelings and a valid theme to look at, but again, like T'Challa says, you know, vengeance can take the best of intentions and turn it into just a rotten situation.
Which is why I think Killmonger he's one of my favorite villains for sure, and a lot of people felt that way too. He's kind of a precursor to Shang-Chi's villain, where he's willing to take more extreme moves. Like, you know, it's all about, let's help out my brothers and all these different countries and stuff. But really, it's about revenge. And obviously, it's a good idea. Yeah, we all belong. We all deserve to have the same existence and stuff. But of course, he's taking it to a point of, I'm giving weapons of mass destruction from Wakanda to a bunch of African-American terrorists. You know, like, it's right idea, horrible execution.
And it, you know, like, it
makes sense,
would have
but
armed,
not the way to do it.
Yeah, but black British citizens and
they said worldwide,
yeah,
they said, yeah, and so, not just
exactly
US.
Yeah, so I mean, everyone look, he's a wonderful villain in this episode. He's a wonderful villain in the Black Panther movie, and he's such a great character to look at and study, because we can have these conversations no matter what the act of that type of violence is wrong, but at the same time, people can bring up, well, what else could you do?
What would you do
to force the change? And it's like, well, one, the idea
Sam
of
Wilson way,
right? And in this world, you know, with Wakanda, you go the diplomatic route, because if you go the vengeance route in a world of supervillains and mad scientist powered militaries, you get what you see here, which is vengeance begetting vengeance. You know, as long as someone,
eye for an eye, bitch.
Exactly. As long as someone from the other side is left alive, they can galvanize someone else to their cause. As long as their idea is, as long as their idea is still alive, They can
and even pass.
It can re-galvanize exactly yeah. their idea. So if it survives in literature or because it's a political ideology mm-hmm. or whatever, it can live on. So it's a big deal to look at Killmonger and people like him throughout history that may have had the greatest of intentions and maybe even at first actually did. You know, do good things. You could look at the IRA and say when the IRA was attacking legitimate British military and government targets that they were, by international law definition, freedom fighters. They were insurgents. As soon as they started attacking civilians, they became terrorists and criminals, mm-hmm. which is wrong on all sides, but even on the side where they're attacking legit military targets, those British soldiers were still husbands, wives, you know, brothers, sisters, mothers, and have all those same things themselves, and were, you know, sure to the IRA and their supporters, the Brits were the evil ones, but to the mm-hmm. Brits, you know,
the hero of their own story in real life
to a degree, which is what makes Killmonger so interesting, because here's a guy who for the most part, if you look at everything that he does, for the most part doesn't really commit a lot of terrorist acts, a lot of pushing the line, but a lot of legit military and government targets are
served in Afghanistan and Iraq and as they say in the movie.
And he does his things as above the board as he can. And like I said, that's what makes Killmonger such a unique character to look at. Because no matter how, because you can even see him trying to rationalize it. I'm doing it for this great cause. You know, my ancestors and my contemporaries oppressed and all this terrible history. I have to kill these people to achieve these means, and I mean, I no one else knows my plan but me, so I have to be the one to be in charge, at least at the beginning, to make sure my plan is fully seen. No, dude, you're driven by vengeance and power, and you're just trying to rationalize it. You're trying to rationalize exactly, and so we can do this. We can do the same, and we can be like, yeah, dude, except you're not the one to do it. So hand your plan off to someone else and step down. And if they would step down, you'd be like, okay, cool, you're a true believer. Have fun on the sidelines, and we'll build you this great statue afterwards. But you and I know that he wouldn't have stepped down because he didn't. So,
wow.
And it's a great character, and one I hope Michael B. Jordan gets to revisit again. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's comic book rules, I guess, but I think it'll be, I don't know. I just watched Kingsman 1 and 2 with my roommate, and they have to work a lot of weird superhero, like super spoilers for Kingsman 2, like the poster. They have to like find the most secret agent-y realistic way to bring back a character back from the dead. So Marvel would have to do something special, I think, to bring Killmonger. And it's hard to cast him in a heroic light now. You know what I mean?
I don't. He doesn't. The Thunderbolts don't need to be huge.
No, but I thought like some people were like he should be the Black Panther.
Oh no, I don't think. Forever. I don't
I'm
think
like,
so.
No, he's committed too many sins for that.
Mm-mm, no, that's just
Thunderbolt. If he survives, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say, I got two words on how it happens, Nick. Secret invasion. What we saw was a Skrull, or so maybe he comes back as a Skrull. Who knows? I mean, secret invasion is the way, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying which way, just that's the vehicle.
I don't think we've seen an actual Skrull. Except for an animation since WandaVision.
Well,
so we do keep forgetting about
them. You see, there's one in Loki in the thing.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. That is one of the... Yeah, yeah.
But I was going to say...
He's the one I'm thinking of, not even animation. There wasn't one in the collective.
We don't know, and that there is one other potential. We don't know what T'Challa did with his body And we don't see him die. We know that he leaves a request. We know he leaves a request of what to have happen with his body. But he could, you know, and that could even be a story plot. No, I said, let me die. I don't want to be here. Don't you understand?
He gets kept alive and he was like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm exactly. Like a character from the opening of Incredibles just trying to kill myself. Right. I'm suing the superheroes.
But could you not see like the type of reinvigoration that could potentially lead to him? It's like, oh, you guys done fucked up. I'm still alive. And now I'm not just going to get the fucking throne of Wakanda, but you know, now I know XYZ cuz I've been to the other side or whatever, you know, and he still got the heart herb in him. Like if he didn't fully die, you know, he's still going to be powered up unless, you know, they depowered him when they put him under. I don't know. There's a lot of potential, which is exciting because I really like the character and the actor. So
yeah, and Marvel's been, I mean, we assume this character has been dead, but especially in this phase, Marvel's been going out of its way to be like, hey, we'll bring back every living character that never got dealt with in a good way, I think. Between
Get
Zemo, you get your Trevor.
Yeah.
And it's been fun so far. An Abomination, yeah. Just today Tim Roth was talking about how much fun it was those, working with Ruffalo again. But
he's a much bigger character.
He is. And we know the other characters weren't killed and he supposedly died. Whereas like no one ever said Abomination's dead, Justin Hammer's dead. You know, no one ever said that about those characters.
So we'll see what happens. I always wanted to see Claw, Hammer, and Killmonger in a room together. That would have been great, but oh well.
You know what would have been great if that scene was in Black Panther and he doesn't kill Sam Rockwell, but he shoots Claw right from him. Justin Hammer's like, whoa! Like,
I know, right?
What the fuck is going on? I'm gonna just go back over here.
Missed opportunity. So is this now your favorite episode ever?
No, and I haven't tried to rank it, honestly. Okay. I don't know how to rank it yet. I will say, one of the things that really adds to it is using Killmonger's theme throughout, which I think is Marvel's most beautiful piece of music from almost any of their movies. The Killmonger theme is very, by Ludwig, whatever, is very recognizable, just like his Mandalorian theme.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
And he's doing Wakanda Forever right now, so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not denying what you said as far as this episode.
Like, it helps tie it all in.
As far as it being one of the best in the MCU.
If it is or not. I don't know where to rank it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The overwhelming majority of Marvel's music, while I can hear the theme, it's forgettable in and of itself.
I don't think Killmonger's is, though. I think Black Panther might have the best soundtrack.
Now, it's good. And when I say forgettable, that's not me calling anything bad. I'm just saying none of them. Yeah, the Black Panther album is great and it stands out because it's unique, but it's not, it doesn't inspire. I don't go and listen to it, is what I'm basically saying.
Yeah, I'm
it's
a great guy, so
but it's not like a it's not on my playlist. Does that sum it up now?
Yeah, dude.
Cool. So yeah, I think one thing that I found in Christine and I talked about it yesterday on the Daily Cup of Genre was that the animation, I still don't like it, but it's less bothersome.
There was one scene that did really bother me.
Which
one? When they're at the club talking, it zooms out and everyone's just like dancing that much because they're just they're in the foreground, but they're backwards.
Yeah.
Like background characters. So like they didn't even try because like it zooms out. They're at the bar. It zooms out the window and everyone dancing is just like barely moving.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, I think the animation, especially in the action scenes, I like the action scenes. They handle really good, I think. But
it's not good. Not good to me. It's just not bothering me anymore. If I have to deal with Black Widow's hair again, it will, because that was
atrocious. I think you will, based on the most recent trailer we saw.
And I'm excited to see it, man. What about the Watcher, dude? Like, full color.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. He's showing up more and more physically every episode, even though he's not interacting with anyone but Strange.
Yep.
So we are building up to that moment where he's like, fuck it. I'm taking the most powerful heroes from this timeline to fix this timeline. So, including Killmonger, Black Panther, it looks like.
It does.
And honestly, my prediction for that episode is that the villain is... He's right on the poster.
Ultron.
Vision, Ultron, Infinity, with the Infinity Stones on his chest. It's got to be the final episode, is him being like, shit, this wasn't how it's supposed to go. Like, he got him even quicker than Thanos, so I pulled together a new Avengers team.
Yep, could be. Could be, man. Overall, this is in the top 5 out of 6 episodes.
Yeah, that's easy for me to say, too, because it's not Captain Carter. So...
Oh, man. I'm using my lower quality camera today, everyone. I'm sorry. The Lumix was used for something else earlier, and something... No, I'm joking. Or am I? I don't know. Maybe.
Naughty.
Now I'm playing it too far, and everyone knows I definitely did not use the camera for sex. Anyways,
I don't know that.
I'll have the fancy one back up next week. So, right. Is that it, Nick? Should I start the closing time?
Start the closing ramble.
Hey, everyone, check out our wonderful website, lrmonline.com, every day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Check out our wonderful YouTube channel for check out our YouTube channel for amazing interviews with our interview team, Nancy Gig and Manny. Nancy does a lot of Spanish exclusives, Spanish language exclusives. Manny's helped out with a few of them. I'm not sure if Gig has. I know Manny did because he told me, but maybe Gig did as well. Anyways, go check out the awesome interviews. And then we have our podcast network, the Genreverse Podcast Network, brought to you by LRMonline.com. And yeah, guys, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast Nick will talk to you about in a second. Animeversal Reviews, Brian and I are covering Megalobox Season 2, Nomad, this weekend. And then the Daily Cup of Genre every Monday through Friday. And we've got Star Wars stuff on the Cantina. And yeah, I've got social media information down below. Nick, say stuff about your thing and then say the last stuff and let's do it.
I'm at Geeky Nick Doll on Twitter. On this Friday, Break Geek Radio, the podcast, we're doing, do you know what's that horror movie called that came out this week? Malignant?
Malignant.
We're reviewing that. I didn't hate the movie, but I hated the experience of watching it because I hate horror movies. Oh. So I sat through that right before this podcast. If you want to hear me talk about that on Friday, please join us. And with that,
Excelsior.
No. Sad.